Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in beautiful Oak Grove, Mississippi. What a great day outside. Kelly Center off today. He'll be back with us. And, man, we got a full show today. Will East joining us later in the show. Recap and preview all the high school playoff games taking place tonight. Patrick McGee will update us from the Times-Picayune. He is the sports editor there about the New Orleans Saints. But first, we want to get one of our good friends on the show, Joy Lee McNellis, head basketball coach of the Lady Eagles. They're getting ready to leave for a five-game road stretch tomorrow at Southeastern Louisiana, and then to the Bahamas. Coach McNellis, are you ready for some sunny weather down in the Bahamas?
I am. I'm just glad it turned sunny here today, because I said the last few days, if I lived where it was gloomy like this, I would want to stay in bed and have hot chocolate, for sure. I am glad the sun came out today, and we actually play Southeastern tonight.
Tonight, okay.
At 6 o'clock, and then we come home, practice a little bit, and we leave Tuesday for the Bahamas.
This is this the first time you've done this, Coach?
To this place.
Yeah.
We're actually staying at Atlantis.
Okay. Wow.
So I've never been there, and it was on my bucket list, actually, of a place I wanted to go, and they reached out to us to play in their tournament, and I said yes. However, that was before I knew who all was in it. We will play Baylor in the first round, then we'll turn around and either play Indiana or Columbia. Then we have Texas A&M on our side of the bracket. So it's not easy.
No.
It'll be a real challenge for us.
No question.
So it'll be a great experience for us. And, you know, we try to take the players somewhere every 4 years. Actually, 5 years ago now, we went to Costa Rica and played and against teams. But this tournament's a little different in that you play American teams.
Right.
Which, you know, other people know and know how good they are. And so it will be. It'll be a real challenge. Give us an opportunity with all the challenges we have faced to kind of see a little bit how we can battle with them.
Coach, what is kind of the process in getting accepted into something like that when they reach out to you? Is that something that athletics has to fund for y'all to go, or is that something that they fund for y'all to go?
Oh, no. No. It is money that we have raised that you all have been so kind and helped with our golf tournament.
Well, that's surprising to me. I don't know about you, Mr. Brown.
I think they're going to buy our flights. Because normally that would be three road games that they would have to transport us. But the bulk of the money is coming out of our golf tournament where we fundraise.
That's unbelievable. All right, Coach, five returners, eight new players. And I know we're really early into the season, but give us your observation of what you're seeing right now.
You know, we're just, you know, a season is not a sprint, it's a journey. And I can truly tell you that we're getting better every day. We've shown some really good signs that we've got a chance to have a balanced scoring attack. Obviously, Malia Grayson is our anchor, and so we will follow her. But I will tell you, being an inside player where people can double and triple team you at all times, you know, it just makes it really difficult. She's only opened that second. So, you know, we have had some other. Nylogene is one that has really emerged, scoring 20 in our last matchup against Cary. And I think we had several in double figures. So, again, we've just got to continue to work. I'll just be honest with you. And learn to play off each other. Chemistry is really something that's important. You know, and a sense of toughness. Like Bree Sutton, our starting point guard, she's our team's leading rebounder right now at a whopping 5.5, 5.6. She had 9 in our last game, but she just has a sense of toughness about her. You know, Morgan Sieper has really, really improved. But our freshman that we signed out of Pikeville, Kentucky, has really showed a lot of promise. Actually, right now she's in our starting lineup. She's been in our starting lineup for a while and is really getting a little more acclimated to how fast people are and how quick they are to the ball. But, you know, am I pleased? I don't know if any coach is ever pleased. But I do think we're making improvements.
Coach, when you play teams like a Baylor or a Texas A&M, I know you said you might not have agreed if you were knowing that you're going to play those teams, but, you know, you don't get to play those teams often, and regardless of what the result is, playing against that type of, you know, competition, generally to see that on the film helps your team get better, maybe even faster than some of the other years when you would play teams where, you know, wouldn't be that level of competition.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely think you learn from that level of competition. That's for sure, because you can't. You know, we have our practice guys that practice with us, but they're not Baylor.
Right.
And I watched Baylor actually on TV last night, watched them play, and, you know, they're just so dominant. They have a post player that every trip down the floor, doesn't matter how many people are on her, she's going to get a touch. But they're very, very, very good, and we're really well-balanced. I do think it will be a great opportunity, like, for our hometown girl, Malia Grayson, just to kind of measure where she is against players like that for the future for her. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, every day when we have an opportunity to play at the next level, you know, every day is important for you. And, you know, every day, every possession, you know, it gives you an opportunity to help your team, but it also helps you.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that experience will be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it'd be a great trip for those kids, too. They got to be pretty excited about going to the Bahamas, don't they, Coach?
Oh, they are, because there may be one player on our team that's been there.
Right.
And so they are really, really excited. And, you know, I've never been to Atlantis, so I'm kind of anxious to see, you know, just seeing pictures of people that's been, and when they have the Bahamas Bowl down there and they show it.
Right.
On TV, on some of the commercials.
Right.
But I've always wanted to go, and so it'll be a great opportunity, even for me, to be able to experience that.
Yeah. All right, just 2 minutes left. Everybody knows you injured your back. You missed the first game. You're in a back brace, coaching. You're not quite as animated as I normally see you. You're a little subdued, but how are you?
Getting better. I actually went back to the doctor yesterday and got a re-x-ray, and so it's healing well. Mm-hmm. Healing well, but I'm gonna have another 4 weeks in this brace, so and believe me, I want it to heal, so I live in this brace.
Yeah,
that's
sure
for sure. I am not taking a chance.
So how hard is it for Joy Lee McNellis to sit there on the bench and not be able to jump up, not be able to wave your arms, stomp your feet, be as animated as you've always been, Coach?
Well, usually because I'm hurting, and I'm not going to do it. I've never had, I had sciatica nerve issues in my back, but back pain is a booger.
Oh, it's terrible.
And so I'm just, I have a little bit of medication that kind of helps keep me calm, take the edge off.
Yeah.
And every certain way I move, I hurt, so.
I try
to be very careful. My coaches are doing a great job.
Yeah.
I can practice before I know it. They have a chair over there for me to get in. It's an office chair, so I can roll around in it.
Coach, before we go, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an encouragement. It's just been awesome to see your ladies involved in my church's college group. They're always there on time and ready to hear from our college pastor, and my fiance has actually gotten to know some of them. And so since you're on the phone, I wanted to give you a bit of encouragement that they are just the involvement in the community as well, not just what they do on the floor, is something that is impacting just me as seeing them at college group and around the BSU and stuff.
Yes, and let me tell you, before she responds, I took my little granddaughter to a practice last year, and they treated her like she was a little queen.
Yes.
Your kids are wonderful, wonderful kids, Coach.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I will tell you, they enjoy. It's not like something we force on them. But they enjoy being with the children. And even after our games, when kids go on the court and play and shoot, our players are out there with them. And you're talking about Trinity Rowe and Ava Shields being at church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, they were rushing by me headed. I was actually had that fake wheelchair thing. They were headed up yelling and screaming, "We're going to be at church on time." And so I think that just says a lot about them, that they were really excited about that.
There's no question. Hey, we hope you feel better soon. Enjoy your trip. Take it easy now.
Thank you.
And get back on your feet, Coach, all right?
All right. Appreciate you. Thank
Coach Joy Lee McDellis, everybody. There is no tougher person on the planet. My goodness, a fractured bone in her back, and she's coaching.
And she's headed to the Bahamas.
One of the problems with a fractured back. We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to Joy Lee McNellis for joining us, and our best wishes for her. Hope she recovers from that back injury very, very quickly. That segment was sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Great place to go eat dinner tonight. This segment with our good friend Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, is sponsored by Campus Bookmart. All right, Patrick, always good to have you on the show. The Saints win a game Sunday, and who in the world would have thought they'd have beaten the Atlanta Falcons as good as Kirk Cousins and the Falcons have been playing?
Yeah, sometimes you get that kind of a jolt whenever you get a new coach midseason, whenever things are going badly. And Rizzi is the interim coach, Darren Rizzi, is very much a different kind of character compared to Dennis Allen. You could tell he's just as fired up as his players are, and he's got some fire there on the sideline, and Dennis Allen just hasn't been given that the last 2+ years. And so, I mean, in terms of like the ideal interim coach, he really is that guy, and the players responded to him. It wasn't a perfect game. I think they played really well in the first half, and then defensively they had some they were able to create some turnovers and close that one out. So, yeah it's it ends the skid. They're playing with a bunch of nobodies at receiver, and defensive secondary is still pretty banged up. I know they're getting some guys back this week, but it was just one of those games, the Saints-Falcons rivalry. You just never know what's going to happen because those two teams really dislike each other. And it really didn't. I wasn't shocked that it kind of played out as it did, honestly.
Yeah. It's a great rivalry. Those games are always, there's just a little more electricity in the air when the Saints are playing. I know you love the Saints, so go ahead, Demon.
Well, I was going to ask Patrick, with the Browns coming in, both teams really struggling. It seems to me another chance for the Saints to get another win at home, and heading into that bye week just seems kind of funny that they would be sitting there at 4-7, and we would have still probably all consider them one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, the next three games look fairly winnable. I think Jameis Winston will obviously come in with a little bit of chip on his shoulder on Sunday, but you got the Browns on Sunday, Then you have a bye week. Then you get the Rams coming to town, taking the Speedable. Then you're going to the Giants. So those are three games you got a pretty good chance to win. The Commanders game on the 15th is going to be a tough one, but the next three games are winnable, at the very least winnable games for the Saints.
But they're like 99% out of the playoffs, right? Like they're not really playing for playoff seeding, right?
It would be a shocking development for them to somehow get back in it. I mean, they've got seven losses down, and they would only could afford one or two more losses the rest of the way just to stay in the discussion. So no, I don't see how it happens.
You know, Patrick, we know a new coach is going to come in. Perhaps it's the interim coach. I don't know, but there will be a new coach. And let's say a coach comes from the outside. What does that mean for Derek Carr?
Great question. I mean, obviously, it depends on who that coach is. Carr, they restructured his contract to get under the cap. And he's set to come back next season. Now, he could be traded or, any host of things could happen. But, whenever Carr had a full complement of weapons, a healthy offensive line, he was pretty darn good. And he played okay. He played okay on Sunday. So, I mean, he's an okay bridge quarterback, they could still go out and draft a quarterback in the first round and not necessarily throw him right out there. Mm-hmm. I think Carr at this point in his career is still in pretty good shape. He's had some injuries, but it mainly results of an offensive line that just hadn't been able to do his job. I think they played okay on Sunday. But no, I mean, I could still see Carr on the roster next year and probably starting game one.
Where do the Saints need to improve, Patrick, to get back to being a playoff contender?
Well, they just have to get younger and just bring in young talent. They need to acquire as many draft picks as they can, and they did a good job of that through trading Marshawn Lattimore to Washington. Were able to bring in, I think there might have been a third rounder in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
They really do have to kind of focus on getting younger and developing a roster that can kind of – they just don't have enough depth. When you look at the roster the Saints have, from like game one, game two, it was a solid, first string group. They put out their one, two games, really rolled over guys. But whenever those injuries started to pile up, they just didn't have anybody second or third string. It was just not a roster built to sustain a 17 game schedule. And they couldn't even get past week three. It's just this team has to get deeper across the board and get younger and Cam Jordan, whether he's thinking about retiring or some of these other guys, DeMario Davis, who's played pretty well at times, but I think he's been out there a little bit banged up at times. So it's an older roster, especially in the starting lineup, and they just got to figure out a way to build depth overall. And that's not something you do in one season typically.
Yeah, it's not. And I think that was the mantra that we all had coming into the season, right? That was, they look good on paper, that first string, but if one of them go down, they're going to be flat. And when you look at draft seeding, Patrick, where does the Saints kind of lie? Where would you think they would lie? Not necessarily in the first round because, that's still – to be played out, but maybe stacking those second, third round, and fourth round picks. Do you know if they're in a position to potentially do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, the Lattimore trade was big for that. Right. I think they might have gotten like maybe 3 to 4 picks total out of that trade.
Okay,
so you're looking at a 2025 draft that's going to be it was been pretty light, because the Saints were kind of moving around those picks and thinking they could win right now,
Right,
and I think we'll see more moves. Once they can get back to moving personnel, I think they will try to build more picks in the upcoming draft in the 2026 draft.
So, Patrick, with the Saints beating Atlanta, and now it looks like the Bucs are slipping. The Bucs have lost a few games now. Is the division now still wide open?
No, I wouldn't call it wide open, no. It's one of those things where weird things could happen, yes. The Saints beating the Falcons, the Buccaneers kind of fall on their face. If the Saints somehow, get together, a 2 to 3 game win streak, like you said, these next three games are pretty winnable for the Saints. If they get there, they're what? Oh my God, it's hard to even think about.
It'd
be six and seven,
right? I know that. Well, that's what I was saying to start the segment. Yeah. Like, it's hilarious, but it's like plausible. And then you split the Commander, Packers, Raiders, Bucks games, you're at 9 and 8 and 9? I mean, that's historically in this division, 8 and 9 is somewhat in play.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I don't see them surviving the final weeks of the season, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't
but these next three are very winnable, but 6 and 7 could be a little deceiving if they do get to that point.
I'm interested to get your take on this. About 3 minutes left. I mentioned this to you off air. I read an article yesterday where Travis Kelce is saying that he and other players are beginning to contemplate retiring a little sooner than maybe they had originally planned, because it appears now that Roger Goodell wants to play 8 games overseas next year. 8 games. Mm-hmm. And from what I read, Patrick, the players do not like this at all. They say it's hard to rest. It's hard to stay in a routine. And you made a great comment that the NFL seems to be all about money, and player safety doesn't seem to be the top priority.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL could grab as much money as they want. Their athletes are not going to make anywhere near the amount of money that they do in the NBA and Major League Baseball. And, you know, part of that is they play a limited schedule, obviously. You know, it's a 17-game slate, and if it was up to Goodell, you feel like they'd be playing 20 games. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the league is taking seriously enough. I mean, I think Thursday night games are stupid, you know, honestly. I mean, I'm fairly conservative. I'm opposed to all that. No, I think the international aspect is worth doing. Do I think it's worth 8 games? No. You know,
right.
I think they should be doing things that are more realistic, whether it's a game in Mexico City, you know, maybe London, stuff like that. But those should be limited to like 3 or 4 games max. You know, I don't think they should be going beyond that. It is tough on the players, and I don't think the league overall. I mean, it's a brutal deal in the NFL where these guys are in such great shape, and they're so darn strong, they're so fast, they're in car crashes like every Sunday. I just don't think the league can really put together a good product if they continue to just put that kind of strain on the players year after year.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter that said that the NFL is proposing games in, like, India. And I'm just like, what are we doing?
It really was. India. It was insane.
India, China, what are we doing?
Hey, Patrick, 30 seconds left, but you're so right about Thursday night football. As violent as the NFL is, and it is a gladiator sport, you play on Sunday afternoon, and then, 4 days later, you're playing again. That just invites injuries, it seems.
Yeah, and those Thursday games are generally a bad product.
Right.
There are some good Thursday games, but that Saints-Browns game, I mean, Saints-Broncos game, that was terrible. Just awful.
Yeah.
The
game last night was bad, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even watch Thursday night games, to be honest, because I got enough football ahead of me on Saturdays and Sundays. I need a break.
All right, Patrick, we're going to give you a break on the Eagle Hour until next Friday, and then we're going to call you right back, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
Patrick Bye-bye. McGee, everybody. Hey, everybody, don't forget about the water that Dima drinks every day, Inda Bay spring water. Dima, it's Mississippi-owned and operated. Stone County is where it comes from. Nothing stripped, nothing added. Premium water with unmatched purity, Dima. And you can find it at corner markets and certain Walmarts. Give it a try, Dima.
I thought you were describing Kelly Sanders, so I was confused there for a second.
No, he's not. Nobody's equal to that, that's for sure. All right, we'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Great place to catch the ball game tomorrow afternoon right there in the shadow of the rock. Great food at 4th Street Bar and Grill, and always a good cold drink and memorabilia like you have never seen before. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we really appreciate everybody that does. Also appreciate Willie's. He's the program director at Super Talk Mississippi and my go-to guy when it comes to high school sports. All right, playoffs underway. Both of our crews have been in and out of the building today, and they're headed to their games. And you tell me, Will, this is the second best weekend of the year.
Next weekend is the best. It is by far the best. You have interesting games from top to bottom. You've kind of weeded out the people who don't belong, and it's time to get it on. I mean, it is time for high school. And it also, the temperature drops just a little. It's a little colder right now, but I think it's going to drop even more by next Friday night. It feels like real football weather. So next weekend is my favorite weekend of the entire high school football calendar, maybe besides opening. You know, opening Friday night is special. It's always fun to have it back. But then you blink and you find yourself in the playoffs, and that's where we are now with 7A, 6A, 5A in their first round of the playoffs, and then the second round of playoffs for 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A.
All right, break it down, Will. What we're going to see this weekend?
So what you'll see tonight is you're going to have a lot of mismatches in 7A, 6A, and 5A because this is the first round. You got some teams that have struggled. For instance, I'll take you to Tupelo, Mississippi, my hometown, home of Elvis the King, where Tupelo is hosting Lewisburg. Tupelo's 10-0. Lewisburg is, well, they're 1-9. And, you know, that's not a very interesting game. But there are some interesting ones, especially in the middle of those brackets, those two seeds versus three seeds. And then you've got a couple other ones like this Oxford hosting Germantown game. Germantown's a team that can be dangerous. They've been inconsistent, but they can be dangerous. They're playing Oxford tonight, the team that won Region 1 of 7A. And I say that this game is going to be good because last year these two teams played each other, and it went to not one but two overtimes. It was a thriller, one of the best games of the season. So that's one that I'm paying attention to. And then one that I think a lot of people in y'all's neck of the woods will be paying attention to is Petal as they travel to Gulfport. This is the game to circle in the south side of the 7A bracket. Gulfport has been good this season. They got that number two seed in Region 4 of 7A, but they got a tough draw. They have this resurgent Petal team tonight. Petal been one of the toughest teams in the state this season. They gave up a ton of points last year and had one of the worst defenses in 7A. But this season, it's a whole new story. They've been within one score of every loss this season, save for their game against Brandon. So what I mean by that is four losses this season for Petal. Every one of them, except for that loss to Brandon, was close. 4 points, 3 points, 3 points. So Petal's a team that's been in every game this season, except for that one against Brandon, where they, I think it was 45-10. I think that was the final score. But every other, I mean, you could be talking about a team with only one loss here. That's how close they were. Uh-huh. And now Gulfport has to host them in 7A, the big schools on the coast, not the smaller schools, not the middle schools, but the big schools. You're used to be 6A, now it's 7A. Those teams have struggled in the playoffs year. It's been about a decade. Ocean Springs has had some good teams here and there. They'll play Northwest Rankin tonight, but they've struggled in the playoffs. They haven't had a team to make it to the state championship game. And I mean, you got to go back to Moss Point days, I think, to find a team that made it to the state championship game from the coast in the biggest classification. So that's what we're looking at. 6A is really where the fun games are going to be this season. Now tonight, the most interesting one, I think, is Terry at Pascagoula. It's a very interesting matchup because both these teams can put up some points on the board. Pascagoula has one of the best offenses in the state this season. They're averaging nearly 40 points per game. They're 8-2. Those two losses that they have, they got an overtime loss to Gaucher and then a 10-point loss on the road to Picayune. Terry, meanwhile, has been a little bit less consistent than Pascagoula, but they're better than last year's team, better than last year's Terry team. And that team last year made it to the second round of the playoffs, so we'll see. But the game of the night, I think, is probably going to be George County at West Jones. I'm very interested to see the matchup between Deuce Knight, the celebrated quarterback for the Rebels of George County, who's being recruited by everywhere. Lane Kiffin was down there the other day. He's currently committed to Auburn. He was before that committed to Notre Dame. He's the rock that moves George County. And just to see him versus this West Jones defense, which we all know over the past couple of years has been one of the better ones. West Jones down a little bit this year. Obviously, they lost had that blowout loss to Jackson Prep and then lost to Hattiesburg, who's been the biggest surprise this year. They're hosting Hancock tonight, by the way. So I think this George County at West Jones game is going to be the one to circle in 6A. I think 6A is the most, especially the south part, 6A, where you have Hattiesburg and Pascagoula and Picayune and West Jones and George County. I think that's the best group of teams from top to bottom in the state this year.
Well, when you look at 6A in our side of the woods with Hattiesburg, they, to me, have been the biggest shock. I know you said that they are hosting Hancock tonight, which I'm assuming you're going to kind of mark as a win for them. They still have to go out there and play the game. But who would they get next in their bracket? Who's on their side of the bracket?
So let me pull up the bracket real quick, if you'll just give me a moment.
Yeah,
no worries. I think that they would have – Where is it? 5A – I'm sorry, 6A bracket. I think that they would have – would they have the – Pearl River Central Picayune, I think that's who they would have.
Okay.
The winner of that game. Let's see. Here it is. All right. They would have, well, I can't, now my computer decided not to agree with me, so now I can't pull it up.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
I think they would have the Pearl River Central Picayune winner, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong about that.
Well, Hattiesburg Picayune would be a pretty entertaining
contest. Yeah, that'd
be a huge
game.
Yeah. It's either that one or the Terry at Pascagoula. And Pascagoula, as I said, has one of the better offenses to state. They've got kind of a triple-headed monster there with Silas Quarter at quarterback, who's a veteran. I think he's a Southern Miss commit as well. So that they're going to be a tough out this year, whoever's got to play Pascagoula. But, yeah, Hattiesburg's been the biggest surprise of the year so far for me. There's not a whole lot of undefeated teams this year from top till bottom. I mean, you've got Tupelo in 7A, Hattiesburg in 6A, and then Cleveland Central in 5A. Other than that, we don't have a ton of them. New Albany, some of the other ones, but it's just don't have a lot this year. There's a lot more parity. It's kind of like college football. It's a lot more parity this year, it seems.
Yeah.
Oak Grove, have they taken a step back, Will, or are they still very formidable?
I think they're still very formidable. You know, they've had these years where they will lose a game, you know, one or two games in the middle of the season, and then all of a sudden you look up and they're in the state championship game. That's happened a couple of times. They're still the cream of the crop until, you know, they're out of the playoffs in my book. They've got the talent, you know, but losing a player like that quarterback Maddox, I mean, that's going to impact you. There's no doubt about it, especially at the most important position. But they've been the most consistent team in all of 7A. The past, decade now? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been the most state championship games of all the largest classification, 6A now at 7A. I don't count them out until they're out. Tonight they're going to host Biloxi. The South bracket is pretty tough because you got Brandon in there who's at 9-1. And I wonder if Brandon and Oak Grove were on a collision course with each other. Again, the coast teams of the bigger schools, the coast teams – are a little bit unproven. Looking at my little schedule here, it looks like the winner of the Northwest Rankin Ocean Springs game will play the winner of the Oak Grove Biloxi game. So, you know, Oak Grove, there's a path there where they could meet up with Brandon in the South State title game again. And that would be one of your better matchups because they've been two of the best teams the past 5 or 6 years.
All right, minute left. Evaluate West Jones. I know they lost a game, but, you know, only one, and they haven't lost many football games in the last couple of years.
Well, they lost two. They lost to Jackson Prep, which was one of the biggest shockers of the season, academy school, and then they lost to Hattiesburg last week.
Right.
You know, it's been defense the past couple of years for West Jones. Defending 6A state champ, you know what you're going to get with them. They're going to run the ball. They're averaging, I think, like 215 yards per game on the ground. They're going to run the ball. They got that big old offensive line, and you kind of know what you get. And I think one of the other big questions is whether Tootie Lindsey is going to be back this week. I think he's been hurt, but we'll see if he comes back. But I think they can take – George County's got a bad defense. They're going to score, I think, on George County. It's just a question of how much. George County's given up over 40 points in like four games this season. So if West Jones can score, I think they got it.
All right. We look forward to bringing you back next week. I know you're going to be excited next week, right?
It's my favorite. It's the best.
I can tell. All right, Will. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks very much.
Yes, sir.
Will East, everybody. He's Program Director, Super Talk Mississippi. Oversees the famous Super Talk scoreboard show every night at Friday night at 10 o'clock. All right, Dima, it's time for picks.
It is.
And I guess the traditional numero uno is back where he belongs. Is that correct?
I guess people have to stay tuned, keep listening to see who's in first place in the standings.
I hope Sanders listening. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Mo Baby Yay Company. Great place to go this weekend. Get some delicious beignets. 2902 Hardy Street. And, of course, Genesis of Hattiesburg, our official auto dealer. Their showroom is magnificent. Highway 98 West here in Hattiesburg. And real quick reminder, Lady Eagles on the road tonight, 6 p.m. Pick that up on ESPN Plus as they take on Southeastern Louisiana. Okay, let's go ahead and announce who might be back in first place.
Bob Getty's in first place, ladies and gentlemen, in the Super Picks. He is in the lead, and you know, it is funny to me that the day that you go back in first place, that's when Kelly just couldn't be on the show today.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, coincidental? I think not.
I saw him come in the station earlier. I was in a meeting, but I saw him walk in here to, I guess, use the bathroom, and be glad he's not here today.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
It was not a pretty sight.
So he just came in here to use the restroom and then leave?
I think so. That's... He and Lee Applewhite are terrible about that.
Man. So you're in first place with 94 points. Kelly's in second with 92, and I'm in third with 89. So we are all still neck and neck.
All right.
Going into the final weeks of
this.
Let's
roll.
Let's get through them. All right. So we'll start with, and Kelly sent in his picks because of course
Kelly's doing some basketball PA announcing at Pearl River today.
Yep. Okay. Coastal Carolina at Marshall. Marshall's an 8.5-point favorite. The over under is 56.5. Kelly picked Marshall to win 30-17. How say you?
I like Marshall. I'm going to go Marshall 38, Coastal 14.
Wow, blowout. Yeah, I'm going to go Marshall as well, and I think they're going to cover. I'm going to say 34-10 over Coastal Carolina. Marshall looked good at the Rock the other day.
They looked strong.
Troy at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern is a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under is 54.
You know, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but I would bet, I would take those points and give up those points with Georgia Southern. I think Georgia Southern blows them up. I'm going 34-10.
Okay. Kelly had Georgia Southern 34-20. I'm going to take Georgia Southern 31-23. So that is still the points with Georgia Southern, but I do think it's a little bit closer. James Madison at Old Dominion. Old Dominion's a 2.5-point underdog. The over-under is 52. Kelly has Old Dominion winning over James Madison, 31-30.
This is a big rivalry game,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I like James Madison in a close one. I'm going James Madison 28-24.
Yeah, I don't know. This one was tough for me. I am going to pick James Madison, but I don't feel the best about it. I'm going to say close 27-26 over Old Dominion.
That's pretty close.
That is pretty close.
Yeah.
About as close as you can get.
That's about as close as you can get.
Louisiana hosting South Alabama. South Alabama is a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under 60. Kelly had Louisiana winning 28-21.
I think a competitive game. I would agree with that. I'm going to go Louisiana 17, South Al 14.
Okay. I'm going to pick Louisiana 28, South Alabama 20. And that's Louisiana with the points.
They could wrap it up if they win this, am I right?
Yes, they would win the division, I believe. All right, Tennessee, number 7, Tennessee is going on the road to Georgia. Georgia's a 9.5-point favorite over Tennessee, and the over-under is 47. Kelly had Tennessee covering, but Georgia winning with a 31-24 Bulldog win.
Yeah, I don't think Georgia loses two games in a row. Georgia 28, Tennessee 24.
Yeah, I'm in agreeance, and you both have Tennessee with the points. I'm going to take Georgia with the points, so I'm going to say 35-21 over Tennessee. All right, the game of the week. Southern Miss on the road to Texas State. Texas State is a 27.5-point favorite. And as we mentioned on the Wednesday show, it is Texas State's homecoming, which they conveniently delayed 5 weeks for this game. Kelly has Texas State winning 42-7. What say you?
Let me say, first of all, that I take no joy in this. I'm a Southern Miss guy. I'm a graduate. My wife, my son, my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. But it's terrible. 48-7, Texas State.
Man. Yeah, I'm not much different. I have it at 452-3.
52-3.
Well, it's two completely different offenses. It's two completely different offenses. One is really good and one is really not good at all.
52-3. I hope you're wrong, Beamer.
That would still be the under. Still be the under. That's all the super picks for this week, 52-3.
Who did you say was in first place?
You.
Oh, okay. Did you know I won it last year?
I did.
You do it much better than Luke.
Thank you.
You're more complex than Luke. But still, I'm the reigning champion.
Okay.
Throw that. Luke was good. Weeks. Luke was second. Kelly was last, as I recall.
He's dropping off. And again, he is not here today conveniently for him slipping back into second place.
Again, I saw him, and you should probably be pretty grateful that he's not here.
Was that smell that I smelled when I walked in here?
It could have been. Okay. It could have been. I've been with him all week. I'm glad he's gone today. No, I'm kidding. I love Kelly, and we both do. And he does a lot of work down at Pearl River. All right. Great weekend. Weather's going to be magnificent.
Yes.
We hope everybody has a happy and safe weekend. And we sincerely thank you for listening to the show every day. Dima, Kelly, and I will be back Monday. And Lee will be joining us. And we'll have a good show. We hope you'll join us. Thank you. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world of mission.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.